The Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. All right. This one doesn't suck. Hey, Rick. Gator done.
Oh, and even has your Larry the Cable Guy reference.
It's fantastic. There you go. Gator. Gator done. And just for the... There you go. Thank you. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right. I'm calling it right now. That's from who? That's from Matt. All right. Malcolm? All right. I'm calling dibs on that one right now. I'm going to give that to the CNN people tomorrow. Gator done. All right. It's a Rick Emerson Show. Coming up at the bottom of the hour. You know, I still haven't gotten up. Listen, would you like to hear the many things we have not gotten to yet? I know you would. Let's go to Jim Roop in Los Angeles, and I will recite then to Jim Roop the list of things that we have not gotten to on today's radio program. Jim Roop, how are you, sir?
I am well. Good afternoon.
What do you think of this alligator story having the gator done?
I like
headline.
It.
See, that's I know what plays well in the corporate media. I know how to shill and be a lackey for the mainstream press.
Oh, man, you're the man.
It really is true. How can I be the man when you the man, though?
Oh, no, you the man.
Okay, we have to stop right now. We're becoming whiter by the minute. Listen to all of this stuff that I have not seen in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, you are not privileged enough to receive this very fine radio program. And I say that not so much because of me, but because of the fantastic crew by whom I am surrounded and the wonderful audience, which pushes us every day to be our best and to provide a quality of the highest caliber and type.
Wow.
Let me just tell you this. Here's some of the things even if I were to get to them, you won't be able to hear them, but I have yet to get to this. Patrick Swayze news we have.
You're kidding.
No, we have Patrick Swayze news, and let me tell you this. Would you like to hear just the first sentence of this Patrick Swayze story?
Please.
Okay, Jim Roop, listen to this. Here's a little bit of news you're not going to get to hear because you live, you know, there and not here.
Ryan Seacrest wouldn't do this.
No. No, it's true. Patrick Swayze goes hip-hop. Yeah. Right there. I said it. All right, so we got that. We have our Sopranos recap to get to. We have the top five Rolling Stones introductions, top five Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time.
You were doing that last week.
To get to.
We never got to it.
Shut your mouth about what I was going to do last week.
I'm sorry.
What are you, a consultant?
I apologize.
No, it's fine. No, it's true. I was actually going to get to it last Wednesday. That didn't really happen so much as it didn't happen at all. Well, in any event, hey...
Because I was thinking of some of them as you were talking last week.
All right, well, let me ask you this. What would your top five Rolling Stones guitar intros be?
Well, I think Satisfaction, Honky Tonk Woman.
Honky Tonk Women, that's one I hadn't thought of. This is actually listener created. This top five, usually we sort of create them ourselves in conjunction with the people who go to the website. The Rolling Stones guitar intros is actually a listener created, but tomorrow I'll fill you in on what they were.
Okay, great.
All right. Well, in any event. Hey, so a couple things. Before I talk about this Surf City thing, I read this story that one in 10 inmates released from the LA County Jail kill somebody or does something violent.
One in 10 are rearrested.
Are you sure it's that low? I mean,
that's what the newspaper report is saying.
It does seem likely that it would be higher than that. Because this presumes that 90% of people released by LA County jails are rehabilitated,
here's the problem with that one in 10. Out of the 16,000 that have been released the past 4 years, a quarter of them have been rearrested for violent crimes like robbery or drunken driving.
Right.
And then there have been 16 out of the 16,000 that have been rearrested on suspicion of murder.
Mm.
So the bottom line, according to our city attorney, is this re-release or this early release program puts the entire citizenry in peril.
It really does. It is. I'm going to skip the obligatory catch and release joke here, but I wonder what percentage of these people they leave the Los Angeles County jails if they're just killed at some point. Because and again, I'm not trying to be grim about this, but
they become casting directors.
It just seems, It just seems like it ought to be. I guess I'm sort of impressed if it's only 1 in 10 who are rearrested for something violent, because it seems like it would be a lot higher than that.
The problem is if you're going to be a criminal, this is the place to be a criminal. There's only 19,000 beds in the jail system here, and it happens to be the nation's largest. And you're going to spend just a fraction of your time here. You're going to be re-released. Now, this doesn't mean that those who are released early aren't committing crimes. It's just 1 in 10 are getting caught.
And
what the city attorney is saying is, these guys are just consider this little bit of jail time as the cost of doing business. They're going to create whatever crimes they can, figure they'll be in jail for 90 days, and they're out again.
And the student becomes the teacher. All right.
But it's becoming more difficult to rob the Jack in the Box, though, because they slide your food through this bulletproof glass chute.
It's true. Can I just tell you, the last time I was in Los Angeles, I went to some convenience store after dark, and I was trying to buy, and it wasn't just a gas station, it was like a full-on convenience store. But they had, everything was locked, and all the transactions were done through the little slot below the, below the bulletproof glass.
Yeah, that's a lot of places out here like that, especially at night, they have these cages that come down.
Yeah.
They have this two-pane plexiglass between them.
The best part, though, was, because I was unfamiliar with the fact that they were doing all this business. The store was locked after dark. And so I walk up to the window, and the guy says, can I help you? And I just said, yeah, I just need to get some coffee, man, because it was like late at night, and we had this long drive back to San Diego. So I told the guy, can I get some coffee? And I swear to God, Jesus Christ is my witness, this guy who was, I don't know where they hire these guys, but this guy walks over. He goes over to the machine inside the convenience store. He fills the styrofoam cup full of coffee, puts the lid on, walks back over. And again, he's doing his business through this big glass window with a small little tray at the bottom. He walks back over and for just a minute is trying to shove the styrofoam cup of coffee through the little tray at the bottom. And then like a little switch closes in the backwater of his brain and he figures out that's probably not going to work.
Then you get the little metal claw with the joystick.
Yeah.
To pick up what you ordered.
All right. Well, in any event. I don't even know what we were going to talk about. Oh, we were going to talk about, Huntington Beach is now officially Surf City, USA?
Yeah, it's a big hoo-ha, I guess, to Huntington Beach. But, it's the Jan and Dean song, Surf City, USA. And Dean Torrance, who lives in Huntington Beach, he obviously agrees with it. That's where they wrote this piece, and that's what they were talking about. But and Huntington Beach is where they have all the surfing tournaments and competitions, and that's where the International Surfing Museum is. But Santa Cruz has always claimed that they were Surf City because they have some pretty, and I've surfed Santa Cruz. It's a pretty bitchin' place to surf, but the water's real cold. Yeah. You got to go in there with a wetsuit all the time. Huntington's a south-facing beach, and waves are real. The sets are real nice, but it's real calm. You get 4 to 5 foot sets. You can come in on those things.
You're using actual authentic surfing lingo here. Are you, Jim Roop, a surfboarder?
Yeah, I've been known to.
Do you have photos of you surfing?
Yes.
You gotta hook us up with that. See, no, you become hipper every time we talk to you. We're always finding out these things. It's complete surprises.
Yeah, but man, I'm a longboarder. I don't have the tri-fin little sporty guy. I'm a longboard. You can put a lawn chair on my board. I got a big 7 foot Velzy that I use.
See, I don't even know what you're talking about. You're just surfboard. Speaking complete gibberish.
Big 7 foot round nose surfboard with a single fin on it. I just ride it in and have a cheeseburger on the way. Big board.
The coolest guy ever. Now, because you know what I am? I'm that guy that I go to the beach with my wife, and I spend $5 to rent the 4 foot long boogie board type thing. I go out there, I suck about a pound of salt water into my lungs, and then I decide it's not for me, and I go sit on the beach and fall asleep and get a sunburn. That's me. That's my day at the beach right there.
That's a good day.
Yeah, I suppose.
You have beer with you?
No, that works out badly for me. You combine that with the beach, the sun, the water, and any other person around, and that's a recipe for bailing me out the next day.
In my younger day, we used to surf at night. We used to duct tape flashlights to the end of our boards until we realized that that's when sharks feed.
And all you do is you look like a big glowing seal.
Yeah, we're an idiot.
You know what? So Surf City, USA is Huntington Beach. You know what we are? We're the City of Roses.
That's very nice.
It's not. I don't even know why we're called the City of Roses. It doesn't seem like are we up to our eyeballs in roses here?
No, there's a big rose garden up on top of a big hill.
Yeah, so what? There's roses everywhere.
Roses.
It's hard to impress anybody with that.
You have climate conducive to roses.
Well, all the good names are already taken.
Yeah.
It really is true. I mean, it's like I push for like Pornopolis.
Daffodil Land, you don't want to be called something like that, do you?
Booze Town, you know what I mean? It's the City of Roses is just, it's like when you're trying to be,
Tranquil.
It's like in the Boondocks, you know, the comics of the Boondocks, Riley's all trying to be a hard gangster and he lives on Timid Deer Lane. It just doesn't work. So, all right, Jim Roop, well, go, you're going to go surf, go hang.
I surf in the wintertime. In the summer, it's too calm, so I surf in the winter.
See, you are a surfer. I though, am a hodad.
That's all right.
That's all. See, I'm showing that I can hang with the kids and use the, I can speak the way they speak.
There's nothing wrong with being a hodad, man. No. You know, because someone's got to wash the towels.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. Jim Roop from CNN. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, there you go.
What's a hodad?
A hodad, I believe, is a poser, one who adopts surfing lingo yet does not actually know how to surf himself.
Okay. Sounds like somebody from the South would eat for breakfast.
Hodad. Hodad is right there with your hush puppies.
Yeah.
Would you like some hush puppies and some what is that other thing? Hush puppies and
grits?
No.
No.
There's another thing that sounds like hush puppy. It's
I don't know. We'll have to ask that fellow lives in the South next time we talk to him.
Yeah, that one guy. I don't know what we're talking about. Let's see. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Rick? How you doing?
I'm rolling, brother. What do you got?
Cool. Good to see you back on the air again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just listening to you guys come up with the Gator names, and I was just thinking I came up with something pretty cool.
All right.
It's just Gator Die.
What?
Or no.
I thought that one was really cool.
Your laugh was the best part of it, though.
It's kind of stupid, but I'm
so overwhelmed
thinking
with
the skate or die thing, and then I heard I was just thinking, die. Yeah, okay. So.
We've got to record it with him doing the laugh at the end.
Okay, okay. Okay, no. Hold on. Are we rolling the mini disc on this?
We are.
All right, okay, David, give it to us one more time, including the laugh. Go.
Okay. Gate or die. Okay.
All right. Thank you, David.
Okay.
God bless you, sir. All right, there you go. Best audience ever. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley. The love of God.
From higher top to the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, the Rose City. This is the City Desk Newsweep. Tim Riley reporting. Out of New York today, Mayor Bloomberg is putting aside a push by one city councilman to have New York secede from New York State and become its own state, if not its own country.
There are probably days when I could be sold that idea, but not today. We are part of New York State. We're going to stay part of New York State.
All right.
Recent arrests over a series of Fight Club-like DVDs are prompting community leaders in Texas to call for action. The Cornerstone Baptist Church devoted its entire service yesterday to the subject. Pastor Dwight McKissitt said the DVDs are just another sign of problems.
Dwight McKissitt?
Mm-hmm. Dwight McKissitt.
Okay.
They're causing problems in today's society.
I think it was caused by a lack of respect for authority, lack of a vision, and misplaced values on the part of our young people.
Whatever.
That problem can be solved.
But the solution to changing this is a fresh encounter with God. I believe God is up to doing something.
An alleged robber in New York City got himself into a bit of a jam yesterday while getting stuck in a chimney. Police received calls from residents of West 40th Street complaining of strange noises coming from inside walls. When officials arrived, they found an identified 25-year-old man stuck in the chimney. One of the residents say the man had robbed a nearby apartment.
He had taken some credit cards and a couple things from some apartments, I guess, in the back. But he never made it, obviously, into this building at all because he got stuck. So that's where he was the whole time.
There's some sort of a chim-chim-chir. Who? Sort of something there.
Well, after telling an audience that young people today think work is a four-letter word, Senator Hillary Clinton is apologizing to Chelsea. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to convey the impression that you don't work hard, she said. Clinton spoke to more than 2,000 graduates.
I'm sure Chelsea Clinton working her fingers to the bone every day, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The senator said that her daughter Chelsea telephoned to complain after learning about the comments. She's 26, was hired in 2003 by McKinsey and Company as a consultant, reportedly for a six-figure salary.
Chelsea Clinton is 26?
And earning a six-figure salary.
God damn.
She received a master's degree from Oxford.
She's out of college already?
She's an adult, yes.
God damn, I'm old. I remember when she was 12 and hideous.
Well, not anymore. She's 26 and hideous. Mom called and said, Mom, I work hard and my friends work hard. New York's junior senator who's up for re-election told the graduate she plans to introduce a bill that would help college students manage and repay their loans. Apparently Chelsea having a hard time paying hers back. Okay. The proposal would limit loan payments to a certain percentage of their incomes. Time for a clown watch.
Here's your clown watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
A 38-year-old professional clown, not to be confused with a rank amateur, accused of impregnating a 14-year-old San Marcos girl and taking her to Tijuana, pled not guilty to committing lewd acts upon a child and child abduction. Francisco Villegas, also of San Marcos, faces a maximum of 7 years in prison if convicted of the charges and an allegation that he caused the girl great bodily injury by making her pregnant. He began having a relationship with a minor when she was 13 years old. He befriended the girl at an Escondido swap meet.
An Escondido swap. Oh, we had this story. This is a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
This is the follow-up.
Yes.
Okay, it's all coming back to me now. This is the clown whose name we're unclear. I'm unclear if he's like Pepe the Clown or whatever he is. He meets the girl at an Escondido swap meet, which is where all the glamorous pairings happen. And then they ran to Tijuana because the previous story about this clown and the underage girl, and you got to ask yourself, what sort of a girl is seduced by a clown? Who sees a guy with big floppy shoes and a rainbow wig and decides that that's the man to give her the hot love?
Foot fetish.
maybe. You know what they say about a man with size 25 feet, baby. But they were on the run to Tijuana, where apparently they were then apprehended. And he was said to be, now this is where we got this phrase. He was making money by doing clown things, wherever, by the side of the road or places, you know, rest stops or what have you, on the way to Tijuana. They said that the man was believed to be traveling to Tijuana with the girl, paying his way by plying his clown trade. That's where we got that phrase from, is the previous story. So they got apprehended.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, the defendant befriended that girl, Escondido Swap Meet, and expressed his love to her mother, who disapproved because of their difference in age. He's 38, she 14.
And he's a clown.
Mm-hmm. The girl's father learned of the relationship on March 1st and said he also disapproved, confronting the defendant, who disappeared with the girl within a week.
What does it do to you as a father when you're there and your daughter brings home a clown that she wants to have sex with? How are you supposed to respond to that rationally as a parent?
I don't know. Maybe she was enticed by his clown horn.
Thank you. All right.
The girl was eventually reunited with her family, but is 7 months pregnant. Who will care for my little girl now? Asked the victim's father.
Seriously. Who wants to marry the mother of a clown baby? What am I to do? Okay, there's your clown watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson. The love of sweet holy Jesus. Moving for the clown watch, subject line of this email is, make your own penis. Rick, you can buy a kit to do this. I'm not telling how I know.
Can't you see that on the Discovery Home channel? Between the knitting show and scrapbooking?
Like this old penis.
Yeah.
Bob Vila with... First, we're going to sand the outer edges. I think you have to make the mold, though. Perhaps he or she borrowed one. Okay.
Maybe from next door neighbor?
This is an incomplete email. I should, you know, just to punish this person for sending us
Maybe they were caught by the boss and had to...
I was just going to say, I should reveal who this is that sent it to him, because you can't have a subject line about make your own penis and then not give us the actual instructions on how to do that.
Maybe they're forthcoming.
Maybe. They're what?
Forthcoming.
Okay. I thought you meant... subject line, Arquette. Sarah is talking about Alexis Arquette. He is the scary she who was on The Surreal Life. GIS, which is wacky net lingo for Google image search, you'll be able to... Let's not. Let's just move on.
Oh, he's a really pretty man.
Well, he would... Well, that'll work out.
He'd have to be.
Let's see. What else? Moving on. Clown. All right. Well, let's do one more, and then we'll break. Later on, we'll let Peter Carlin. I got to get these tabloid stories as well. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it wasn't the Saturday bomb threat at North Salisbury Walmart that had people talking Monday morning. It was, however, a sticky situation. A 20-year-old Salisbury man was taken to Peninsula Regional Medical Center late last night after a Walmart employee found the man glued to his bathroom toilet seat. The man went to the bathroom, sat down. He was banging on the wall when the employee came in. Police called 911 and emergency services arrived. They say the man was not in the bathroom for more than 5 minutes. He was treated and released. We are grateful he wasn't seriously injured, said the store spokesman. Walmart conducting an internal investigation into the incident and handling it like any other. The North Salisbury location is reviewing videotapes, which is scary enough.
Videotapes.
Uh-huh. Video was not used in the bathroom, though, they say.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Imagine what the video from a Walmart bathroom would look like.
This is not the first time that water coolers have been stirring with something other than what was on TV the night before. The last hour of April Fool's Day, an employee of Denny's restaurant near Route 50 found a customer in a similar predicament. The man was also treated and released, so they're getting used to this type of thing.
Well, you know what? The super glue is one of those things that when you are under a certain age, like if you are under the age of 17, there is no correct application. There is no lawful or decent use for that product. It's kind of like lighter fluid in that regard. It doesn't matter. I don't care what it's supposed to be used for. Mm-hmm. There are certain items that if you see them being purchased by anybody under the age of majority, X-Lax also comes to mind, you know, any sort of invisible, like, fishing twine, you know that they're up to no good. It is clearly some sort of nefarious activity is about to take place. Okay, well, let's break here. We'll come back. I got a few emails about the Trojan thing. What else? Tabloid stories. Peter
top
Carlin.
Five.
What's that?
Top five?
Oh, top five, maybe.
Come on.
Okay, sure. Why not? Top five for all. We'll do that. We got more on the way. It's 503-733-2. 970, like it's the three world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Stay there, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show live on AM 970, Solid State Radio. All right, so Rick Emerson Show live from Portland is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Thank you for party listening to. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Coming up at 3, we got the Tom Likas world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. We may have to wait and do the rest of this tabloid tomorrow. Because we got Peter Carlin coming up with the Sopranos recap. What else? And we got the top five, which Tim Riley is insisting we do. Suddenly all very, very militant about it. It's okay. It's really just Dirty Dancing star Patrick Swayze going hip-hop. It's okay. Nothing crucial. Doesn't matter. All right. All of this stuff here. The people weighing in about the top five thing and the, all of this. See, look. Okay, I'm just going to...
Oh, that is terrible.
You're looking at this headline right here?
I am.
Okay. We'll do the top five here in a second. Look at this. We want to thank Todd the Corpse for emailing this to us.
Terrible table manners.
Is this Peter Carlin?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me read this headline. Mm-hmm. Then we will talk to Peter Carlin. Then we'll do the top five. Todd the Corpse sent us this headline. Bears eat monkey in front of zoo visitors.
It's been a long time coming, though. I mean, of all the crime and all the damage that they've done.
Sarah, we'll bring Peter on. Can you go ahead and roll the monkey watch theme, though?
I sure could.
All right, we're going to find the. We're going to do a little ad hoc monkey watch. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Geez, I am so crazy busy.
Okay. Well.
Do I have time for you? Of course.
Peter, you got to make time for me.
I got to make time.
Bubby, honey, sweetie.
Time that didn't exist now exists because you're in it.
Johnny Cakes.
Johnny Cake, Jimbo.
All right, so, well, let's talk briefly then, and I'll let you get back to whatever it is you do about the Sopranos last night. So, let me ask you this. On a classic 1 to 10 scale.
Just before we do
oh,
that.
Oh, God, don't tell me you didn't see it again.
No, I saw it.
Okay.
I saw it for
all
real,
right.
But I also want to point out that I also saw the episode I hadn't seen last week.
Oh, okay.
That many people criticized for not being action-packed enough, but
I believe
very wisely pointed out was a brilliant episode.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you said?
Actually,
sure.
The exact
sure.
opposite, Peter.
No. Peter and I were complete in agreement, and so forth. No,
yes,
I said it was crap.
Did you?
I just, it wasn't it was crap. I felt like it was, I called it sort of an episode full of loose change. It was sort
of
like...
But that is so wrong.
Okay.
You are such a douche in that regard. Because... because it was so... Just because nobody, like, takes a bullet in the back of the head, even though a viper did get shot, and
yes,
that was exciting. But mostly, it was just about plumbing into exactly how sick and twisted all their relationships are.
Uh-huh.
And just the fact that these are people who, you know, for Tony, try as he might to be, like, a decent, upstanding, moral human being, they have absolutely none of the tools. And this was expanded upon in last night's episode when poor old Vito up there in dreamy gay New Hampshire couldn't even, like, work half an honest day.
It's true. I will say this about the episode a week ago, 8 days ago, which is the one thing that I really liked is... Tony and Christopher, when they jack the hooch from the vipers or whoever, and then they're endlessly reliving it later, and I thought that that was fascinating because it was a whole lot of... I do think, and I think it ties in with Paulie's prostate cancer, I do believe there, with all the characters, is an emasculation going on. And I think that you look at you go look at Tony and Christopher, who are having to, like, not fabricate, that's not the right, but they have to make this drama and then endlessly relive it. You've got Johnny Sack, who, as we found out now, kind of rolled over and made the plea and copped to the whole thing, made the allocution. You've got Paulie, who quite literally, his manhood is under attack. He has the prostate cancer. I think there's a whole theme of emasculation going on this season with many of the male characters.
Mm, or when AJ dropped the knife.
When AJ dropped the knife, dropped
his pants or whatever.
Dropped his phallus, yes.
Yes, and it clattered between his little legs there.
So I do believe that there is the whole idea of manhood and manhood either being diminished or sort of neutered by domesticity or circumstance or whatever. I will give you that. Here's my thing about last week and last night. It's not that they're bad. I feel that they lack, and I'm really, this is the pot just calling the blackest pot and the blackest kettle. I think they lack focus a little bit. I just feel like David Chase feels, I get the feeling he's trying to cram too many things into each episode. And I wish the show would dwell a little bit longer on things. I feel like it sort of frenetically jumps from one thing to another recently.
See, but that's where you need to think a little more deeply, my friend, because
okay,
these various he says.
I'm sorry.
Mega dittos, Rick.
That's just more douchality for me.
Because I think all these various aspects kind of illustrate the same central point about these guys who have absolutely, you know, no ability to relate to one another or to function in anything resembling an honest way. And, you know, when we sit down with Dr. Melfi and Tony and they begin to talk about his background and you see him, I mean, he cannot, try as he might, and he's trying about as hard as humanly possible, cannot get past, you know, the scars of his youth.
Right.
You know, that's and exactly how screwed up his heritage is. And that is it, you know, and that's what he's reliving, and that's what he's desperately trying to, you know, as the coma dream in the beginning, you know, where he decided to not go to the party where all his dead relatives were, where only death and doom, you know, resided, and he heard those voices calling him back to life. He's been trying to make that journey for real in life and is seems to be edging in that direction. But, you know, as we see, it's just not that easy. Like on a normal TV show, it would be that easy. But in real life and on The Sopranos, you know, there's a lot of backsliding. There's a lot of, you know, and Christopher's done nothing but backslide.
Oh, yeah.
Tony essentially twisted his arm and insisted that he drink that wine
with
him, even though he knows his, you know, nephew to whom he's supposed to be so paternal is an alcoholic.
All right, and then there's Vito, who, as you noted, Vito was going to make a clean go of it with the guy with Johnny Cakes or whatever his name is, Jimbo, he's out there trying to like saw a plank or something, and you know he just totally has to take a nap and has to, you know, I mean that whole thing. I it didn't end. I mean, if in fact Vito has left New Hampshire and isn't going back, then at least they've kept it a little unpredictable, because that's not how I expected it to end.
Mm-hmm.
I expected him to be tracked down and found.
Something grim's going to happen in the next episode, judging by the coming attraction.
Oh, it's all going to end badly. It's going to end so terribly.
Like, what grimness and awfulness were they doing in that room where they told Tony to go away.
Right, right, where Silvio was inside with it. Tony, you just leave and go back. Yeah.
There was a great line yesterday when Tony asked Sil to go talk to the business or the building inspector.
Right.
And Silvio just looks up and says, to what end?
I love that, man. That guy's fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's weird. And here's the thing that's going to happen. And here's why it's going to be, I think, especially grim, is because those guys are going to meet out some sort of, you know, some sort of simple-minded mob justice, I think, on Vito. And Tony, who has kind of laid down the law that Vito's not to be touched without his say-so, Tony's going to have no choice but to then put the smackdown on his own guys.
Well, it's going to be, but is Vito going to, you know, there was this rumor bouncing around the internet.
Now, can we talk about that now? Because is it not going to happen?
We don't know. We do not know.
Well, Vito's heading back into town now.
Vito's heading back into town with that crazy sort of suicidal, violent look in his eye.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Let's give people a warning, and then let's say the rumor. That way they can tune out for a second if they...
Well, of course, it's only a rumor, and we're not saying...
No, I don't know anything.
Real.
I don't know. Spoiler. I'm just saying, okay, well, here's the thing. The rumor is... The rumor on the internet.
Well, let's just put it this way. Can I just do this?
Sure.
I'm the TV professional here.
Okay, sorry. And I'm the douche, so I'll just back up. Okay.
Glug, glug. Terrible violence is done to Finn, Meadows' boyfriend.
Yes.
Who had seen Vito engaged in...
And an act of...
An act of...
Homosexual intimacy.
Yes. By Vito.
Yes.
Is what the rumor has been.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's true, we don't know.
Yeah.
But it was a chilling bit of gossip.
And I got to tell you, last night, they show Vito driving into town, and then I don't think... There's Vito driving into town, and then I swear to God, they cut to a shot of Finn.
That's right.
They cut to a shot of Finn at the home. And I'm like, oh, God, no! You know, and I'm totally, like, my stomach is cinching up. And
I know exactly. I had the same reaction.
Ugh.
Meadow has already been kind of, like, complaining to Tony that, that's kind of breaking up between her and Finn.
And it would tie into this season's recurring theme, again, of the emasculation and the defiling of manhood.
And here's the thing. All you want to, whenever Finn comes on the screen, you just want to yell, go back to L.A.
Totally. Exactly. And I'm still traumatized from that S.H.I.E.L.D. thing. You know what I mean? That David Aceveda gunpoint assault. There are scars on my brain from the S.H.I.E.L.D. that will never heal, my friend. They're there, and they're just there for life.
That's just where it begins.
Yeah, seriously. So, all right. Well, I know you're kind of under the gun here. You're, as Jon Bon Jovi would say, you are under the gun and out on the run.
It's true, and I'm wanted dead or alive.
Set the night on fire. Anything good coming up this week? Anything this week on television that is not crap?
We got another episode of Lost, and that is a fantastic show, and that comes up on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And you got to be watching that show,
because otherwise you'd be a douche.
Oh, some of us have already broached that. Yes, but
yes,
it's true.
Okay.
And what else is coming up? I don't know. I've been really detached. I've written this very large series, which is going to start on Sunday in your Sunday Oregonian, which you should definitely be.
This is a series of articles.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you think it is? Series of watercolors?
Okay, look at this.
What do I do?
No, I'm saying...
Wait, you're telling me you're going to be on the radio tomorrow?
Okay. And there you go. All right. I have nowhere. No, I have nothing to top that with.
You won't be hearing from him again.
No,
that was Peter.
No, you've bested me at my own medium. I have nowhere to go with that. To set and match and point or whatever it is they say.
And now all you must do is destroy me.
Okay, well, we're going to end this segment now, Peter.
Okay.
All right, man, there you go.
I'll talk to you next week.
There you go, Peter Carlin. OregonLive.com and The Oregonian. I have no idea what we're doing.
Should we just go ahead and break?
Yeah. I'm going to break now. And so forth. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Like us at 3. World famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. We may or may not be able to do the top 5 when we get back. Probably not. We'll try to get some stuff done. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Quick, and Jillian, dead or alive?
Who's she?
Oh, you know Ann Jillian?
Oh, yes, she's alive.
You sure?
I think so, yeah.
Who's Ann Jillian?
Yeah, see, she's just... Ann Jillian was a blonde, sort of sex kitten actress.
Yeah.
Sort of an earlier incarnation of Michelle Pfeiffer. And she was on this program called Jennifer Slept Here, in which she played the ghost. It was sort of a weird science kind of a thing. She played, let's see, she played the ghost of a dead, I guess that goes without saying, the ghost of a dead Hollywood sex symbol who was there to help a 13-year-old boy navigate his way through the trials of puberty. Blah, 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 blah. And she was all hot, and then she was in the news because she had the cancer. And then I don't know if she's dead or not.
I believe she's still alive.
Yeah, I don't know why. I had it written down. This is the way my brain works. I just had it written down. Ann Jillian, dead or alive, must know. All right, there you go. It's 5:00. Hey, you know, speaking of Michelle Pfeiffer, really quickly, before we get to the news, because I have no time for the top five here. And I know that I was supposed to do the top five like last week. Get off my back. You know, I was looking at those pictures of Lindsay Lohan that Sarah put up on her blog. And, you know, she doesn't look all that bad to me there. And I think, A, it's because I like trashy girls.
Well,
B...
I think a lot of people are misconstruing those circles under eyes because that isn't eyeliner. That's actually, like, bags.
Really? Are you sure about that? I thought it was just the raccoon eyes.
No, I saw a series of pictures from there. And the raccoon eyes are more out here than they are, like,
right. Well, I like girls that look like they might be broken down a little bit. Because that means they're waiting for Big Daddy Rick to come along and make them feel pretty again.
I think she's your kind of girl.
She just pick her up and give her a little bit of... As Charles Manson would say, he would say something or other. There's some.
Why
some
are we quoting
there.
Charles Manson, of all people?
Yeah.
I don't know. There was some quote that I was going to go to about picking up chicks.
And then, boop, just picked out Charles Manson instead.
Well, no. He's kind of a mentor type.
No, it seemed like there was some Charles Manson quote that was relevant here. Well, I guess not. The point is, I don't think she looks that bad. Also, I figured out why. It's because in those photos, she looks like Michelle Pfeiffer a little bit. I think that's why. Michelle Pfeiffer, who, while not strictly speaking my type, is really one of the hottest women who's ever existed in any sphere of reality anywhere. Can we roll the Monkey Watch theme again? I didn't really get to read this because Peter Carling wanted to interrupt me to call me a douche and share his thoughts on The Sopranos.
Sure.
All right, kids. We could save this till tomorrow, but it's just too good to wait. This is from the Associated Press. Bears eat monkey in front of zoo visitors.
It's been a long time coming.
From Amsterdam, where life is cheap, bears killed and ate a monkey in a Dutch zoo in front of horrified visitors, witnesses, and the zoo said, witnesses.
That's
the zoo
a very liberal country.
In the incident Sunday at the Beeksy Bergen Safari Park, several sloth bears. How badly are you walking, you're beaten, you're caught by something called a sloth bear. Several bears chased the Barbary macaque. Macaque? What kind of a monkey is this?
How do you spell it?
It's hard to say.
M-A-C.
Looking at the picture, what's left of it.
M-A-C-A-Q-U-E.
M-A-C-A-Q-U-E.
Macaw? Macaque.
That'd be a bird.
Macaque.
Mesek.
Not that it matters.
Macaque. Well, whatever. But listen to this. This is the best part. Chase the monkey into an electric fence. Where it was stunned. It recovered and fled onto a wooden statue where one bear pursued and... molded to death. Witness Marco Borrells posted a detailed report on the internet. He said one sloth bear tried unsuccessfully to shake the monkey loose after it took refuge on the structure. Ignoring attempts by keepers to distract it, the bear climbed into a horizontal pole and used its sharp canine teeth to grab the monkey. The bear then brought the animal to a concrete den where the three bears ate it. Children were said to be crying at the scene.
Well, monkeys have been getting away with too much for too long.
It really is true. It's about time that somebody
put the monkey in its place.
Okay, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk, kids.
Okay, so we understand the... That's fine, too.
That must be background music.
Yeah, all right.
So here we go. A quick recap here. The eastbound lanes of the Banfield have been reopened. The westbound still closed, as far as we know, after a police officer was injured and another driver killed when a car leaped over the center barrier into the path of a police cruiser. MTV is launching its own digital music download service to compete with iTunes. It's going to be called Urge. And let's see, they'll have more than 2 million music tracks from 110 artists, 500 playlists, 130 streaming radio stations, and 20 blogs. Also, Comcast said they had a component failure last night affecting the viewing of Coin 6 Survivor finale between 9 and 11. Mostly on the east side, it is unfortunate that Comcast experiences failure during a program of such high viewer interest, said Coin. So they apologize for Comcast to offer no apology for it. Coin understands your frustration when it comes to viewing this program. Comcast. It's the only thing on Coin people watch. At this time, we do not plan to rebroadcast the program because we have no way of taping it in the first place or no one there to run it.
The automated camera bot 5000 really isn't able to pull anything back. All right. There you go, kids. Comcast doesn't care about you.
No.
All right. Well, let's do one more here, and then we'll start to...
Well, it'll be time for a religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Utah has launched an organized crime investigation into a polygamous sect and its fugitive leader, Warren Jeffs. Now on the FBI's 10 Most Wanted list, he's already wanted on Utah and Arizona. The charges allege he arranged plural marriages of underage girls. The attorney general said Monday the office also looked into Jeffs and his church for double books, cooking books, offshore accounts, and fraud. The FLDS church is one of a number of polygamous sects in or near Utah. Followers believe the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormon Church, went in the wrong direction when it abandoned polygamy more than a century ago as Utah was seeking statehood. Estimates of the number of polygamists range from 30,000 to 100,000. I don't know how they get these numbers.
They make it up. Really, in Utah, the weird thing is it really is like a Judean people's front of you Judea kind of a thing, because there's like the LDS Church, the RLDS Church, the FLDS Church, the ASPCA LDS Church. I mean, it doesn't matter. You throw a rock there and you'll hit some different branch of the Mormon Church, all of them crazy in their own way. All right, there you go. There's your religious nutcase watch for Monday right here on the Rick Emerson Show.
It's 91 degrees.
Is it really?
Yep.
Is it sunny outside?
It is sunny where we are.
Hey, we can't tell from that giant parking garage.
Oh, we can't tell. Yeah, and we're locked in a room here with no windows or natural light or sun or air or anything good or decent. Rick, this is from our friend Jarris. How about for the crocodile stories? How about croc and awe? There you go. Croc and awe. Mm-hmm. How about Gator Storm? Speaking of Storm, have you seen the video for... have not seen it, go to rickemerson.com and check out the video that is posted there from Listener Party 9. We have now via YouTube and our good friend Joni DeRoshi and Nate Baker, we have a video of the Close My Eyes Forever performance by Storm Large and Jarris Minsky.
Gave me chills.
And the Emerson Starship band. It's fantastic. Yeah, you should check it out. It's really, really good. All right, coming up on tomorrow's show... things, also stuff, also various inanities and bits of humor. Plus, we'll get to Patrick Swayze, hip-hop star, and top five Rolling Stones guitar interest of all time. I swear to Christ, we'll really do it. I mean it. Really, honestly. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio, news director Tim Riley, and techie guy things, Sean Couples. Like us next, world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7, as always. Thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Be safe. See y'all in 21 hours. Bye.
With just a little boom thing.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.